LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In New Mexico, the manhunt for a suspect in the death of a state trooper is over. The person of interest in the death of a South Carolina woman also was captured in a shootout in Albuquerque. Department of Public Safety Secretary Jason Bowe says that the suspect is dangerous.
Jeremy Smith is certainly that, just a violent person with a long criminal history that obviously had no regard for anyone that he comes into contact with.
The 26-year-old suspect accused of killing three family members, including his 13-year-old sister in Philadelphia and a suburb there, now in custody, apprehended after an hours-long standoff. Israel said it would send a delegation to Qatar for more talks with mediators after Hamas presented a new proposal for a ceasefire with an exchange of hostages and prisoners. Haiti spiraling into chaos, commercial flights canceled, and the U.S. State Department now reaching out to U.S. citizens there, offering to fly them out. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report says Black LGBTQ plus youth are seeing more equality, but it doesn't always mean greater opportunity. Edwin J. Vieira explains.
The Human Rights Campaign reports around 82% of kids were out to someone in their immediate family. This shows a growing comfort level they have in being who they are, but the findings also indicate this doesn't always translate into acceptance and leads to concern. Ryan J. Watson, a University of Connecticut professor and researcher for the report, says a key takeaway is how Black LGBTQ plus youth face exclusion on several fronts.
Maybe their Black African-American relatives, friends, are in particularly unsupportive of them being a sexual gender minority, and so they kind of have stigma from that side. And then also the kids in this report are reporting they feel excluded by white LGBTQ youth and populations.
The report suggests parents can educate themselves about sexuality and gender identity, as well as use the name and pronouns their kids use to define themselves. The report also finds mental health is a big concern for this population. Around 59% of Black LGBTQ plus youth screened positive for depression, while close to 40% of those surveyed were diagnosed with anxiety. Watson finds these figures alarming.
We could leverage health professionals, teachers, parents, but if I were developing an intervention right now to help a particular group of youth, this to me seems like a population in dire need.
Nearly half of all Black transgender or gender expansive youth have unmet mental health needs. Surveys find accessing mental health care is a challenge for many Black or minority residents. Along with this, many are concerned about how their gender identity will affect their futures. More than 80% say they want to attend college, but almost one-third worry how being LGBTQ+ could harm their future higher education opportunities. This is Edwin J. Vieira. Support for this reporting is provided by Lumina Foundation.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Wisconsin headed to the finals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers with a huge upset, beating number 3-ranked Purdue 76-75 in overtime. Head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously a terrific game, a terrific win for our team against a terrific Purdue team. The determination, the depth that we had to play with because of fouls, how guys stepped up and helped each other out, the execution out of timeouts, and at the end, the defensive play Chucky made there at the end to get a charge. You know, I can go down the list. Just a terrific March game, and excited to watch these guys mature and grow, and they're playing their best basketball right now. It's just where you want to be.
So the Badgers take on Illinois today at 2:30 in the finals for the Big Ten tournament at the Target Center in Minneapolis. In the Big East finals yesterday, Marquette losing to number 2-ranked UConn 73-57. The Golden Eagles finish the season with a record of 25-9. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Monday on Nightlight, I'm live in Madison and joined in studio by musician James Runday. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today. We'll see a high near 33 degrees. Northwest winds gusting 15 to 20, maybe up to 30 miles per hour at times. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 17. On Monday, mostly sunny. We'll see a high near 36. Breezy and warmer for Tuesday with a high of 48.
Currently, 23 degrees. As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The music of the stars on the Civic Media Radio Network. For St. Patrick's Day, Barbara Streisand in Ireland.
Gosh, James Joyce, Oscar Wilde, George Bernard Shaw, Sean O'Casey, and Bono! Bono! You sent me lovely little gifts and wished he was here, and I wish he was here. But what do you have in your atmosphere that creates such brilliant writers? You know, maybe it's the coddle? About 9 years ago, and I'm thrilled to be back, this time to sing for you, at this amazing historic Castletown House, right? And thank you so much for coming out tonight, because I know you've just been through, what is it, this is probably the 39th straight day in a row for rain, right? And so this song, which I don't usually do second,
that it's so big, my love for have to be Irish to be Irish.
What did he do?
You mean Monaghan. How did he fight his way out?
Right.
Well,
He doubled his fist and he looked at me around and he sucked him right in the eye. Well, he took him beside me first and he went to a roll in his head and tie. Well, he broke his arm and he couldn't sustain him beside him aside of his eye. Well, he hit him with the left and hit him with the left and he kicked him aside of his hole and he had beside him beside right in the face. What did he say? Right in the face.
Oh.
But all the face played a terrible prank.
When Molly, she fell in the whiskey tank.
Oh, hold up, Molly, and Faith, what a joke.
No, cried Molly, I can't swim a stroke.
Yes, yes, she was sinking and him never drinking was faced with the puzzle.
Or if he could guzzle enough of the stuff, she'd be saved, no doubt.
Now, how did he figure it out?
Figure it out.
Oh, figure it out. You mean when Molly fell in the whiskey tank? How did he save her from drowning? Well, he dived in the tank and he started to swim and my Molly was open and tired. Well, every time he took a stroke, he went to the whiskey that's out in his throat. Well, he floated on his back and was held with the butterfly stroke at his side. Well, the butterfly stroke, he was coming around and he drunker and drunker and drunker. Well, he was finding him and looking at the alcohol burning his eye. And he was saying to Molly, half a said, I'm coming to throw the rye. Well, he's having a comb and he said, it's a kid and he took her out in the glass. Well, he swam and swam and swam and swam and kicked his foot to his side. Well, he comb and sent him and had to get tied with us of a soul of a tide. He reached down, grabbed it up, and Molly was there for time. Well, he looked at the fire and, ah! He said it was and he folded the pen, and that's how he figured it out. He figured it out. Aye.
Dancing Master gets the ring completely true. What man, the first Irish do.
That's a darling voice you have.
Oh, thank you.
Once again, Danny Kaye.
In Dublin's fair city, the girls are so pretty. 'Twas there that I first met sweet Molly Malone. She drove her wheelbarrow through streets wide and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She was a fishmonger, and faith, 'tis no wonder, her mother and father were fishmongers too. They drove their wheelbarrow through streets wide and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She died of a fever, and no one could save her. And that's all I know of sweet Molly Malone. Now her ghost drives her barrow through streets wide and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
Danny Kaye, Danny Kaminsky of Brooklyn. Frank Patterson, one of the greatest of all Irish tenors.
It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know. Goodbye, Staten Island. Farewell to Times Square.
York City came an Irishman one day to stay with friends from Ireland who had found good work and pay. Singing songs of Dublin, Mayo, Cork and Donegal, young Paddy got nostalgic and he said to one and all, it's a long way to Tipperary, it's a long way to home, it's a long way.
Say.
In the orchards of Erin's green land, where girls are so its beauty, in the orchards of Erin's green land, where girls are so gay and so pretty, none fairer you'll find near or far. But where are the boys that can court them, like the boys from the county Armagh?
You've learned your lesson well.
It's my own Irish home, far across the foam. Although I've oft times left it in foreign lands to roam, no matter where I wander, through cities.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
At 59, American.
Fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. And year in, year out.
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, yes?
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
Season after season, at market, independent tobacco experts, men who really know tobacco, can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Real Lucky Strike tobacco.
And remember, this fine this Lucky Strike tobacco is. Means real deep down smoking enjoyment for you.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Still.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, last Thursday night, the Academy Awards were given out to a favored few. All the Hollywood celebrities gathered at the Shrine Auditorium to take their hats off to the winners. And so tonight, we bring you the man who had the half-check concession, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, you shouldn't have introduced me as the man who had the hat check concession at the Academy Awards. I was master of ceremonies, too. And Don, having the hat check concession certainly taught me a lot about those so-called big stars and pictures.
What do you mean, Jack?
You should see the tips they leave. Cary Grant, 15 cents. Clark Gable, 10 cents. Margaret O'Brien, a nickel. I felt like throwing it right back in her face. I couldn't believe it. I thought that, you know, I never saw such small tips. I thought that tambourine I had on the counter would help a little. You know? What? And Don, you know Rex Harrison?
Yes.
A shilling.
Thank you. Los Angeles went all out for St. Patrick's Day, tending the small green. No, and all day long on the radio, they've been playing Irish songs. One program played, Did Your Mother Come From Ireland? How Are Things in Glacamore? It's a Long Way to Tipperary and My Wild Irish Rose. I know there's nothing unusual about that, except this was the Scandinavian hour. To a St. Patrick's Day party last night, and every important Irish celebrity in Hollywood was there. Maureen O'Hara, Dan O'Herlihy, Pat O'Brien. And when they served the free lunch, another Irishman showed up, Jack O'Benny. No, but there's a big Irish colony where I live in North Hollywood, but they stay pretty much to themselves. They come to town only once every 4 years during a presidential election to vote for Pat O'Brien. And, of course, all the Irish cops here in Hollywood have that St. Patrick's Day spirit. But sometimes I think they overdo it. Three times a day I got a ticket for passing a green light. But the Irish are a great people. You can say what you like about the Irish, but before you do, make sure you're paid up with a Blue Cross. I went to a St. Patrick's party at Les Brown's house last night. I like to see how the other half lives. My suit needed cleaning anyway. No, Les invited all the boys in his band. He thought it would be appropriate. Most of them are still green from last New Year's. What a party. I won't say things got rough, but about midnight I saw a familiar face across the room and it turned out to be mine. About 2 a.m, the party got so noisy, even Phil Harris called up and complained about the racket. Phil was lying under the piano. And the sax player's girl had the pickle fork in her hand, and I never knew before how sharp those things are. In fact, I wouldn't know now if I hadn't bent over to tie my shoelace just as they started to play Pin the Tail on the Donkey.
Justice, truth, and the value of a single human being.
If you can't tell already, I've seen almost every one of Mr. Tracy's movies. But the thing is, I'm not just speaking as a fan. I knew the man. It was 1959. I was under contract to Universal. I was making a TV series called Riverboat. At the same time, Spencer Tracy was making a movie called Inherit the Wind. Every day, I would sneak on the soundstage to watch Tracy and Frederick March go at it like two bull elks.
The Bible is a book. It's a good book, but it is not the only book. It is a revealed word of the Almighty God. Spake to the man who wrote the Bible. How do you know that God didn't speak to Charles Darwin?
I thought maybe if I watched enough, got close enough to him, maybe some of the magic would rub off.
He tells you what is right and wrong?
Yes.
And you act accordingly?
Yes.
At 5 p.m. every day, he left the set and walked to his dressing room. I followed 10 paces behind. One day, he turned around and said, "Come on, kid." So there I was, walking alongside my idol. He asked me what I did. He was having some fun because I always had on my little riverboat outfit. I told him that I was trying to be an actor. And Mr. Tracy said, "Well, don't let anybody catch you at it. Don't act, just behave." I felt like I was being knighted. That advice was so true. I could never catch Tracy acting. You don't see the work. He simply is on screen. Our walks became a daily routine. We talked about sports, mostly. When we would talk about acting, he always said, "Less is more on screen." Most actors never learn how much gold is in a scene just by listening. I once said to him, "Mr. Tracy, you're so good at everything. Is there anything you're not good at?" And he said, "Life." A lot of people think his gruff exterior was a cover-up for the fact that he was a devout Catholic and had a troubled marriage. I think it tore him up, knowing that he couldn't do everything as well as he could act.
"I want to thank God. What do I say? Just say what's in your heart."
People close to Tracy knew that he was a proud man, that he was a damn good actor, but he was very cynical sometimes about the profession and the fame that came with it. Tracy once told me he considered plumbing a more honorable job than acting. It amazes me today when I meet young actors who don't know Tracy. Anyone who wants to work in movies should be tied to a chair and required to study him. Spencer Tracy understood the talent he had, and he shared it with all of us. I remember the loss I felt when I heard that Spencer Tracy died. I selfishly wished I'd gotten to know him better, but I was afraid he might give me one of those under-the-brow looks, and that would have killed me. Tracy did give me a great gift. His time, his wisdom, and at least for a few weeks, I knew I walked in the presence of greatness. I knew then I might never be near an actor like him again, and I never have been. There is only one Spencer Tracy. And that's for Turner Classic Movies. Oh. I'm Burt Reynolds.
I was just going to give him credit.
Gruff fisherman Spencer Tracy.
"Oh, an Irishman will steal your heart away.
He'll be devil you and beguile you with his hullabaloo belay. When that rogue turns on the rogue, your heart will go astray.
Oh, an Irishman will steal your heart away.
An Englishman has manners, an Englishman has charm. They say it's truly difficult to raffle his aplomb. He'll hold you and he'll kiss you, but wherever he may be, at 4 o'clock he'll have to stop to sip a cup of tea.
An Irishman will steal your heart away.
He'll bedevil you and beguile you with his hullabaloo belay.
When that rogue turns on the rogue, your heart will go astray.
Oh, an Irishman will steal your heart away.
A Frenchman is romantic. The French have savoir-faire. When he makes love to you, it's always très, très debonair. He'll say to you, toujours l'amour, my life on you depends. But next day he'll be making love to two of your best friends.
Oh, an Irishman will steal your heart away.
He'll bedevil you and beguile you with his hullabaloo belay.
When that rogue turns on the probe, your heart will go astray.
An Irishman will steal your heart away.
The German man is steady, the German man is smart. For he'll come round and round again to win the Fräulein's heart. But you can lose him easily and make him hide his face. When he comes round to see you, tell him this is not the place.
Oh, an Irishman will steal your heart away.
He'll be devil you and beguile you with his hullabaloo belay.
When that rope turns on the rope, your heart will go astray.
Hey,
should all be wearing their green noses, is the Round Table Bone Marrow Laboratory Appeal Trust for research into bone marrow disease. And it's rather appropriate to grace the occasion at the Phoenix Park on Sunday. We have our next guest. She is here to start the whole thing running on next Sunday, the fun run. And it's appropriate because the movie that she is most renowned for in Ireland is a rather agricultural piece of work called The Quiet Man. But although you may remember her especially in Ireland for that, she actually made 55 movies. She starred in 55 movies, and she was known as the Queen of Technicolor. And indeed, it was said about her at the time that if Technicolor hadn't been invented, they would have to invent it specially for her, to take in her beauty and her lovely red hair and all the rest of it. On a brief visit to Ireland, she's going back to America on Monday. Would you welcome, please, Maureen O'Hara. Good to see you. Starting the fun run on
Sunday.
Yeah, and then you go back to America when?
On Monday, because I have lots of work to do. I have to do an interview about John Wayne out in California, and then I have to come back to New York to do some fundraising for the new museum in Aviation Museum in Foynes. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be back to Ireland for the summer.
For my golf tournament in
Glengariff.
Okay.
On the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th of July.
What was your favorite movie, Maureen? Favorite.
Of
all 55, what's your favorite?
The Quiet Man.
Quiet Man, would have to be.
Yes.
Quiet.
Well, number one, we came home to Ireland to make the movie, and also it took... Do we have a few minutes to tell the story about how hard it was to raise the money?
It took you 5 years, didn't it?
No. 84 to 51. That's 6, 7 years, if they taught me my arithmetic properly at the Sisters of Charity.
44 to 51.
Yes.
44 to 51, yeah.
In 1944, I was making a movie called Spanish Main with Paul Henreid. And John Ford was always very reputed to not like to wear fancy clothes. And he always wore white flannels and a dark navy blue jacket. And when his wife would buy him new clothes, he'd burn holes in it so they'd look old. Anyway, he always looked a little bit disreputable, and he wore an old felt hat that my father sold him in Woodrose on Westmoreland Street. Anyway, he came to the studio, and there was a new young policeman on duty, and he thought this dreadful-looking, disreputable man couldn't have any reason to be in the studio, and he wouldn't let him in. The number two man at RKO at that time had a very strange name. His name was Joseph Nolan. And he came down on the set to see me, and he said, "Mother of God," he said, "John Ford came to see you, and they wouldn't let him into the studio. What are we going to do?" And he's furious. He said, "Please call him, calm him down, and ask him to come back tomorrow, and we'll put out the red carpet." So I called John Ford, and he was a vain, old, wonderful old man, and the idea of the red carpet really suited him down to the ground. So he came back the next day, and they really did put out the red carpet. And he had come to the studio to see me to have a handshake contract in 1944 to make The Quiet Man in Ireland as soon as we could raise the money. He also had a handshake contract with John Wayne, Barry Fitzgerald, Victor McLaughlin. So we started trying to raise the money. I shouldn't say we, because that was his job and his producer's job, who was a wonderful gentleman in Hollywood. And each year, we held the summer open, and each year, no money. Make the movie. The script was taken to Fox, RKO, Warner Brothers, all of the studios. They read it, and they said, "Silly, stupid little Irish story. It'll never make a penny. It'll never be any good." And the years slipped by, and John Wayne and I used to go into the studio and say, "Mr. Ford, if you don't hurry up, I'll have to pay the widow woman's role, and Duke will have to pay Victor McLaughlin's role, because we'd be too old." So finally, John Wayne, who was at that time under contract to a minor studio, in spite of the fact that he was the top star in the world, called Republic Studios, and the head of the studio was a man called Yates, and he said, who came from the button industry, incidentally, and he said to Mr. Ford, he said, or Pappy as we called him, he said, let me take the script in to Herb Yates, or Old Man Yates as he was called, and see what happens. And in desperation, Ford said, all right. So Mr. Yates read the script, and his reaction was exactly the same. He said, that silly, stupid little Irish story would never make a penny, but to snag John Ford and Marion C. Cooper, the two top men in Hollywood, he was willing to gamble. And he said, very well, I will finance it on one condition, that you make a Western first with the same cast, same director, same everybody, to finance and make up for the money I'm going to lose on The Quiet Man. So we made Rio Grande to raise the money to make The Quiet Man, and we made it in 1951, and Mr. Herb Yates left a great estate behind him when he died, thanks to that silly little Irish story.
Lovely story. Great story. Great story.
O'Hara.
I'd like to tell you about The Quiet Man. He's John Wayne in a picture you'll soon be cheering. It's the story of Sean Thornton, a right-handed man who came from America to forget his past in Innisfree. There he met a fiery red-headed lass, and the village marriage broker went to work.
That's a pretty bonnet you have on.
Bonnet? Don't you be talking to me about bonnets. After leaving mine stuck up there like a...
Easy now. Have the good manners not to hit the man until he's your husband and until he'll hit you back.
Then her bully of a brother, Red Will Danaher, refused to pay her rightful dowry.
There'll be no locks or bolts between us, Mary-Kate, except those in your own mercenary little heart.
Kate left him to go to Dublin, but he caught her at the station and brought her back with the whole town watching him do it.
I'll pay you. Never!
Then the fight was on, a fight they're still talking about in Innisfree. It's a wonderful picture, the finest ever brought to the screen by John Ford, and he's won 3 Academy Awards. His direction makes unforgettable the performances of John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara, Barry Fitzgerald, and Victor McLaughlin.
3 cheers for Republic Studios. The Andrews Sisters.
Oh, he hits the trail each morning down at Hollywood and Vine, then to Westmore's to get himself tanned. Gets his vittles at the Derby, and by 10 to 9 he's a-loping along the Rio Grande. He rides the range for Republic, where the cardboard cactus grows. He rides the range for Republic Studios. He's a pistol-packing papa with a buck and bronc to bust, though his pistols are loaded with blanks. A half a 100 Redskins always bite the dust every time the camera cranks. He rides the range for Republic, where the western breezes blow. He rides the range for Republic Studios. Yippee-i-yay! Yippee-i-o, yippee-i-a. There's a varmint shouting, they went that away. He's a rompin', ropin' rustler, but he's in a kind of rut while escaping from a posse of men. His director's always jumping up and shouting, cut! We'll have to shoot it over again. He rides the range for Republic, where the western breezes blow. He rides the range for Republic Studios. Yippee-i-o!
be marching along in the big parade on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be up to me neck in shamrocks as I march along the way. I'll swing me old shillelagh as I wave to each colleen. I'll tilt me ear the better to hear the wearing of the green.
Oh, the Kelly's from Killarney, the Murphy's from Kildare,
the Hallahans and Callahans who came from County Clare.
There'll be folks from dear old Dublin all the way to County Cork.
They'll be marching in the big parade right here in old New York. The mayor will be in the big parade, strutting high and grand. And behind them will march a thousand cops who come from Ireland. Those beautiful songs of Erin, the band will play them all. We'll march along while singing a song, the harp of Tara's Hall. Those sons and daughters of Erin, 100,000 strong, will be singing the songs of Ireland as they march along.
Their eyes will shine with laughter, their hearts will all be gay,
and the Irish all turn out to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
We'll be marching along in a big parade on St. Patrick's Day. Not for all of the tea in Dublin will I ever stay away.
I'll trip the light fantastic and how proud I'm gonna feel.
The band will play Go Witcha Go Way and good old Irish Reel.
There'll be Cooney Mulrooney and Mickey O'Dowd cutting up capers and pleasing the crowd. Hogan and Brogan will kick up their heels, singing and dancing the jigs and the reels. Connells, O'Donnells and Larry O'Toole, Maloney, Mahoney and Lefty O'Doole. Dibble a man, happy as they on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be marching along in the big parade, a twinkle in me eye.
We'll be proud as a thousand peacocks with our heads up in the sky.
I'll be there, you can bet you, when the band begins to play.
And the Irish all turn out to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Chicago's a wash in green as St. Patrick's Day celebrations return.
We have to show out today. Like, it's St. Patrick's Day. We got the last name Fitzpatrick.
I'm having a blast. I had to come out for the Irish Day, St. Paddy's Day parade.
Thousands flocked to Grant Park for the city's St. Patrick's Day parade.
St. Patrick's Day is an incredible display of the soul and the history of our cities.
Chicago's mayor was among the other local politicians and dignitaries on hand for the 69th year of the annual event. This year's theme, Mental Health is Essential. Well-known restaurateur Peter O'Brien was Grand Marshal this year.
Everybody's Irish because we're all one.
Happy St. Paddy's Day!
Like in years past, ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
Comes March, the time when Irish folks parade and sing and tell some jokes. We've got a lad, one in a million, Frank Parker, County Cork, Sicilian.
There is something so dear to my heart, and it thrills me to just be a part of this feeling so rare, permeating the air. I can't wait for the whole thing to start. There is one thing that fills me with cheer. That's my favorite time of the year.
I get a most peculiar feeling when it's March the 17th. I polish up me shamrock for parading on the green. Sure, anyone who's Irish knows exactly what I mean. It's the Irish in me. Once again, me old shillelagh will be in the latest vogue. While polishing my boots, I'll polish up me Irish brogue. Every colleen will be chasing me because I'm such a rogue. It's the Irish in me. Yes, I'm Irish, Irish, Irish as can be. All the Corns will join the Kellys and be proud as proud can be to be part of the Hibernian Brigade. But none will be much prouder or much louder there than me when I'm leading the St. Patrick's Day Parade. it only happens once a year. It's such an awful wait. But holy smoke, the cheer we spread, we get in such a state that it takes 11 months so we can all recuperate. Would I change it? No, siree. It's the Irish, it's the Irish in me. All the Corns will join the Kellys and be proud as proud can be to be part of the Hibernian Brigade. But none will be much prouder or much louder there than me when I'm leading the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Ah, the Irish songs I love to sing, they fill my heart with joy. But though I sing the Irish songs, it's not the real McCoy. 'Cause after all, you know, I'm just a fine Italian boy. It's the Irish in me. Yes, bigari, it's the Irish in me.
Think so.
Yeah, let's sing some folk songs.
What kind of folk songs?
Well, folk songs that my folks like to hear.
What's that?
Italian folk songs.
Oh, Lord. Play back, folks. You're going to get a salvo of fettuccine and we, Maria, il luna mezzo mare.
No, we got a million of them, Paisan.
I'm not a Paisan. I'm not Italian.
You're not Italian?
No.
You're not Italian?
No.
Well, how come so many young Italians sing like you?
Well, you're not so young, really.
Well, what will we do?
What? Right, if you like to sing folk songs, Italian folk songs, you sing a couple, I'll sing some Irish folk songs.
You're an Irisher,
that's
huh?
We will get in very big in South Boston.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, we'll sort of have a musical, you might call it a musical pizza with a shamrock on top.
Well, at least green noodles, yeah. You know?
Something like that. Avanti, signore, per
Guarda il mare come bello, spiritante sentimento, con il tuo soavocendo, chi mi desto fa sognare. My wild Irish rose.
It's gonna be a hit.
That's the sweetest flower that grows. Someday for my sake, she may let me take the bloom from my wild Irish rose.
If it weren't for the Irish, you'd have to forsake sweet Rosie O'Grady and Finnegan's Wake, and my wild Irish rose that you sing louder than the overalls in Mrs. Murphy's chowder.
If it weren't for the Irish,
you'd lose from the start your father's shillelagh and peg of my heart.
There would be no stew the Mulligan's made.
There would be no St. Patrick's Day parade.
There would be no picking shamrock, no wearing of the green, and there'd be no one to ever take you home again, Kathleen. If it weren't for the Irish, there never would be a Johnny McCormack, a Mother McCree. When your Irish eyes are smiling, you would never see them. If it weren't for the Irish,
if it weren't for the Irish, if it weren't for the Irish in me.
Irish hearts are singing gaily about me father's old shillelagh we're wild about, an Irish stew, the corned beef and cabbage is wonderful too.
Blarney stones and lullabies, leprechauns before your eyes, hills of green and lakes of blue, and think of the wonderful jigging they do.
And if it weren't for the Irish, there'd be no Patty's pig, no bringing up father, no Maggie and Jigs. There'd be no blackthorn stick for your protection, and no cop upon the beat to give direction.
If it weren't for the Irish, you'd find us before.
No corned beef and cabbage, and no dinty more.
You would never hear Paddy Duffy's cart.
There would be no team of Harrigan and Hart.
You would be without policemen enforcing every law. There would be no Irish Irish sweepstake and old George Bernard Shaw. If it weren't for the Irish, there never would be us tenors of mourning, the Rose of Tralee, and the shows of George M. Cohan. You would never see them
if it weren't for the Irish. Weren't for the Irish.
Of the Stars.
You are never far away from me. When we part, I hold your memory. You linger in my dreams when day has flown, and through the lonely night, I'm not alone. Sadness in the word goodbye, because you're always in my heart, my friends. Wherever you may be, I'm never far away from me.
Good night.
This was a fun program to do, I got to tell you.
When we part, I hold your memory.
Next week, more of the same right here. This is Lou Ergani for the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you for being here, and a happy holiday, legal or otherwise. The music of the stars. Next week, more of the same, 7 o'clock Central Time in the morning, and Sunday, all the way till high noon Central. On most of these stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. The best music ever. Happy St. Patrick's, everybody. And until we meet again, keep your dreams alive. And reach for the stars.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory.